Matthew chapter number 23, verses 1 through 4. The word of God says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers."
Actions speak louder than words, do they not? Sometimes when a person says one thing and does something else, which do you believe? Do you pay more attention to what is being said or to what is being done? Jesus knew that if the multitudes and disciples paid attention to the scribes and the Pharisees, they might pay more attention to what they do. But notice that Jesus says, "Do not," because they say and do not. So many times the world gets caught up in the wrong way to observe. If we're going to be paying attention, we need to know the right thing to do. Therefore, we've got to follow after what they say, because they said to do, whereas they did not. And so that is a self-test we must ask ourselves. Are we being consistent? Am I saying one thing, and am I doing what I said I'm going to do? Well, in the book of Romans, in chapter 2, there, beginning in verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." It was a common problem then as it is today. People are being inconsistent. A lot of times you can turn on your television and see what preachers perhaps have to say, watch the religious channels, but then what happens when the cameras are turned off? What happens throughout the rest of the week behind the scenes? Are they doing exactly what they said they are to be doing? Well, as followers of the Word of God, we need to heed God's instructions. In fact, the only way that we come to God is through faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We want to be as much aware about God as we can. And the only way to learn about Him is to go to His Word. That's where our faith comes from. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul said, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So that is the book that we need to be observant of. That is the one that we should faithfully strive to study. Because in the book of Acts, chapter 17, we have an example of those that faithfully study. Remember in verse 11, "Those were fair-minded than those in Thessalonica," speaking of the Bereans, "and that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether such things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks' prominent women, as well as men." They were very observant of the Word of God. They wanted to know, is what is being preached or taught or perhaps being lived the truth? How are we to know if we are not observant of the gospel message? That's why they faithfully studied. Likewise, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth." Pay attention to the word that is set before you. And as Christians, that's what we should do as we strive to draw closer to God every day. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, "Therefore, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby." I want to know as much as I possibly can about God and His Word, and so I'm going to be very diligent to observe it, to read it, to learn it. And you know, if there's something that I don't know or I don't understand, I need to find out about it. It's often found common in classrooms when a teacher is writing on the bulletin board or making some kind of a note, and a student does not understand what is being said. You first begin to see the eyes kind of roll around, maybe a finger scratching the chin or scratching the head, and often than not, that hand pops up. "Teacher, I got a question. I don't understand the things that you're trying to tell me. How am I going to complete my homework assignment if I don't know what I'm supposed to do? How can I pass the test if I don't know what material to study for?" Are we that way when it comes to studying God's Word? It was very good to hear a little while ago studying our Bibles together that, you know, if someone doesn't understand something, the question is asked. And that's good for all of us. Maybe there's something that somebody else wants to know, but maybe we're a little bit shy of finding out. Therefore, it's very important that we understand the things that we observe concerning God and His Word. In fact, there were times in which Jesus spoke in parables. And many people asked Him, "Why do you teach in parables?" And He says in Matthew chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, "Because hearing, they are not able to understand. And seeing, they also do not see clearly." We want to be sure that we know what is being said so we can better do, and thus it will be better to be pleasing unto God. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 10 and chapter 15 and verse 10, or Mark chapter 7 verse 14, "Hear and understand." Or in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 and Mark chapter 13 verse 14, "Whoever reads, let him understand." It is so easy to hear or to read the Word of God today. We have our printed Bibles. You can go on the Internet and search and find audio. You can even go to the local stores, perhaps, and find Bibles on tape or on disc. And so it is very readily available that you can find out what exactly is God saying. But it's up to us to take that initiative. We've got to be willing to listen. And once we listen, we have to take the time to pay close attention, to understand the things that are being said, because remember, the words of God are life. The things that He says has the power to save us if we carefully observe them and follow them. This was nothing new, because back during the days of the Old Testament, it was important that everyone understood what God's law was. In the book of Nehemiah, beginning in chapter 8 and verse 1, we have an example of this. "All the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Anaiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and at his left hand Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akkab, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand their reading. Do we do that today? Do we know that if there is a person, perhaps in the assembly, that does not understand what the will of God is, do we just shrug it off? Do we say, well, maybe you'll get it next time? Or do we take the time to help them understand, even as Ezra did? You know, God wants us to understand, because if we do not, it might cost someone their eternal soul. Such was the case with the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember reading about him in Acts chapter 8? As he was in his chariot down the road that leads unto Gaza, the Spirit of the Lord told Philip to go and begin to preach unto him of things that he needed to know. And so we found him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone should guide me? And so Philip began to climb up in the chariot, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And you know, it wasn't long before the Ethiopian eunuch understood what was being said, that Isaiah was not speaking of himself, but of some other man, the man who was the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. And so he quickly said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He understood, and he was willing to do that which was commanded of him. And so the Bible tells us the chariot stood still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. He baptized him, and then they both came up out of the water. And finally, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, we're told the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because he finally understood what he was reading, and yes, he was obedient to the gospel that was preached unto him. And therefore, he had his soul in the right relationship with God, and thus could partake of the everlasting life. So it's good that we understand these things. In fact, if we do not, do we seek the help of others? You know, one thing that is good is that we pray for one another. Such was the case for the Apostle Paul and the church at Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, Paul says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, knowing that you are fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That is something we all should strive to do, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But does it seem discouraging when, you know, I just don't understand something, therefore why should I know anything more? I could talk about several cases that I've seen over the years with people that are struggling with their studies. You know, there's a grade that can be made that is a lot better than the one that is being made now, but in order to do that, you've got to put forth the extra effort. I think I can. I think I can. We want to know I can learn. I can understand with a little help and a little guidance. But sometimes we rely upon our own understanding, and the Bible certainly makes it clear we should not to do that. But instead, we could learn from something else. There is one type of learning which is only coming from books, reading and answering questions. But then there is another type of learning that comes from observation, paying attention to somebody else that knows how to do it. I know a lot of ladies like to work in crafts, and most of the time you have to watch maybe your grandmother, your great-grandmother, or somebody else that could show you how to do them. And so once you've seen it over and over again, you've got a better idea of how to do it. One person we need to be very observant of is that of Jesus Christ. Remember, Peter says of him in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." Yes, Jesus set a very good example, because the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38 tells us he went about doing good. Just read throughout the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many good things do you find Jesus did? Quite a few, I might add, but you know what? We don't know everything. John said in chapter 20 in verses 30 and 31, "Truly did Jesus many other things in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So yes, Jesus did many good things, and therefore I want to be just like him. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says to be imitators of God as dear children. If you notice on the back page of your bulletin, you might see an article that will deal a lot with that. How do we observe God? Well, have you ever seen a dear child observing a parent? They're very intent on watching, on listening. And so the words that are to be spoken have to be the right ones. The deeds that are being done have to likewise be the right ones. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul even said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." I'm trying my very best to set the right example for you to observe, and certainly to follow after, because that is what Jesus did for me. And I'm trying my best to be like him. Well, just as there are good examples, there are also bad examples. We know there are some people that we just don't want to be like. How many people do we know talk in the wrong way? How many people do we know do things they should not do? Are we also observant of them? Well, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul tells us that the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And if you go back to what was written before, you find many times the children of Israel disobeyed God. There were times they had their own ideas to follow after. "God, we do not want to serve you, but rather let us make idols unto ourselves. Or this is what we want to say, this is how we want to act." And time again they did. Time and time again, they were punished. Paul even reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Have you ever heard the saying, history repeats itself? If we're not careful, bad things can certainly happen again. But on the other hand, if there were good things that were happening, we need to pay careful attention to them that they will happen again. But just because we are observing, that is only half of the story. Remember the passage that Andy read to us a moment ago? He said that observe and do. So what happens if we pay attention, if we observe, but do not do anything about it? Remember the words of James in chapter 4 and verse 17? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We still are sinning when I know what I ought to do, but I just don't want to do it. Or maybe I'm not doing the right thing, and instead I'm doing something else. Or maybe I'm not doing anything at all. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus tells us about a certain parable in which a landowner had many servants that were working. But you know, we also found some that were idle, doing nothing at all. And so likewise he told them, you too get to work, and I will pay you your wages. Have we ever been told to do something when we're not doing anything? Just imagine if our parents tell us or our grandparents tell us, you know they mean it, but when God says to do something, that's even more serious. We really need to do what He says. And therefore, doing nothing at all can certainly cost us our eternal soul. When you go back to the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, you find many relevant wise sayings that apply to us even today. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 15, he says this, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, but he who is careless of his ways will die. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Imagine that. There is work that needs to be done, and if we do the right kind of work, we will reap the rewards. In the New Testament, Paul said, if a person is hungry, to feed him, remember Jesus said, but if he does not work, neither shall he eat. There are benefits from not only observing, but doing something, including our own survival. And physically, if we think that this is important for us to live each and every day, think about even our spiritual food. Jesus often said, I am the bread of life. I can give you living water. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, yes, we shall be filled. And so when we do the words of Jesus, it allows us to enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not enough just to say a lot of good words or pay attention to everything. I've also got to do exactly what God says. And you know, it's very pleasing unto Him when we do that which is right in His sight. Because the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 reminds us, do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Do we need a reminder to do good? Or are we often too busy with something else? Well, if I see an opportunity, certainly I want to take it. Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. If I see an opportunity to do something and I don't do it, I'm still living in sin. I am certainly being observant, but I do not have that action which I also need. Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, that he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Not only does he tell us to do those good things, but to avoid doing the bad things. So when you look back at the scribes and the Pharisees there in Matthew chapter 23, you see that yes, they say one, but certainly they do another. In fact, they are not consistent. And therefore, we've got to ask ourselves, are we being consistent? Consistency is the key. You often hear coaches tell their players, teachers tell their students, preachers perhaps tell the members of the congregation, or as God perhaps would say, even to us. But there is one example of one that is consistent. Think about the man, Jesus Christ. Did he not say one thing and do the same thing? Was he not consistent ever since his existence? The book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. We find later in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, there is one change that is necessary, as the Apostle Paul found out. We cannot live as we used to live, as we were in sin, but once we have become a Christian, put on Christ in baptism, we find that we would live after the way that Christ wants us to live. And therefore, we should be the same person on the outside as on the inside. Yes, the things that I preach, the things that I teach, the things that I learn upon the first day of the week and on Wednesday night, and hopefully every other day that I'm faithfully studying my Bible, I also do not only Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday until the day that I die. But if you look at the scribes and the Pharisees, let's find out what concluded with them. Come down later in Matthew chapter 23, this time to verse 25. Jesus says to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." You know, we might appear on the outside unto men one way, but you can't fool God. He knows what's on our inside. And you recall, as David was to be chosen the next king over Israel, he said, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Is our heart consistent with our actions, with our words? Are we the same person on the outside as we are on the inside? I may not be able to tell. You may not be able to tell. But God certainly does. And so this morning as we come together, that is the question that we must all answer. Are we being consistent? Is the Word of God heard as well as seen in our lives? Perhaps there is someone today that needs to respond to the gospel of Christ. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel but are not living the consistent, faithful life as you know you can live. And so if you need to respond to the invitation and we can assist you this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing.